Hello, hello, Jago.
Hello.
Hey, Jordan, good to see you again. And Funan, good to see you. You shaved your whole beard.
It's coming back, though.
Oh, that's okay.
I'll be ready for, when winter comes. Okay.
If nobody else could tell it's really you because you changed your face, are you really you anymore? If nobody else can tell. I guess you are. Aren't we all? I was just feeling kind of spaced out, like I don't know what to do, or I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, everything that can change cannot be yourself.
Yeah, I was sort of wrestling a little bit with the idea of change and choice, because it seemed like I have a choice of focus, whether to focus on thoughts or worldly issues, or else to focus on like the self, I guess.
Well, as long as you believe you're still with form. You know, if you still believe you're a body-mind, then you'll believe that you can use your mind to remain formless. But if you know yourself in a real sense, then this won't be.
Yeah, there's choice. It becomes totally a non-issue, I guess.
Well, who's choosing if you're formless? Who chooses in your dream what you do? Or what the other little dream characters do? Who's making their choices?
But then I was comparing that to something where a couple weeks ago, Elaine said something about there being a choice, and you said yes, but that it's a context thing.
If you believe yourself to be something separate, yeah, then there's choices. And I mean, if from the body perspective, you're sitting here and you say, okay, I have a choice whether to eat ice cream or whether to eat Doritos. And that's a choice. But you are not making that choice. You're sort of avatar. Your appearance appears. And the formlessness that you are is kind of moving through it and providing the power and the energy for the body to move. But you don't need to take a sense of doership of, I am choosing ice cream or I am choosing Doritos. This is where Maharaj says about the tea. I pick up the tea, I drink it, I put it down. You could say there's a choice in drinking the tea, but you're not taking doership of the tea. It's not like, woohoo, I had tea. that me celebrate, that I can drink tea. But in these other different spontaneous actions, you are celebrating. I did this. And the formlessness can't do anything. Just like in your dream, the formlessness creates a dream world and populates characters and moves things around. But when you wake up, you're not taking ownership or doership of all the things that happened in your dream. Like, wow, I did 100 laps around a lake in my dream. What a great athlete I am. Because who did the 100 laps? Nothing happened. You know this when you wake up. Well, when you know yourself in a real sense, this is the same. Formlessness explodes through this apparent form world. And then there are a bunch of dream characters moving about, believing they're individuals. And it's for a longer time. It's not just like one night and then you wake up and you say, oh, I was dreaming. Instead, you know yourself in a real sense. Okay, as long as I'm in body form, I'm going to see this long dream. But it's a dream. No matter how real it appears. Just the same as the night dream, no matter how real it appears, you wake up the next morning, it's not true. Maharaj uses the example of you see your friend die in your dream. Then when you wake up the next day, you see your friend. But you may have experienced pain and suffering and all this misery of your friend dying in your dream. Or you break your arm in the dream and you wake up, arm's not broken. Even you hold your arm because, see, the formlessness is so impressed with body form that in a dream, if you break your arm, you wake up and you're like, oh, okay, my arm is okay. Because the formlessness, the identity of being a body, of being somebody, is so impressed that even in a dream breaking your arm, you experience your arm being broken. And when you awake, you're happy that your arm is not broken. In reality, you don't have arm. In either case.
It's kind of like I stay away from alcohol and, you know, I have that, sorry, I lost my thought. I guess that was a good thing. No question, Senator. The file is closed. Sorry, guys.
No, it's perfect. Spontaneous.
It's no worse than what I'm going to say next if I say anything.
The struggling happening right now is when I'm home. It's easy to get more with formless than identify. It's the environment is okay for that. But at the moment I arrive at the job, I'm salesman and all, and I see the machine going on, but it's still going on. And I don't want to fight with, but I don't want to feed it. And then I'm struggling with that. And I think, is that a passage, a period of time? And I don't know. Strong identification is very strong related to the job.
The mantra while working. Hmm. This is, you know, as you're moving about, as you're working, as you're serving customers, you said you're in sales, you just... Mantra while you're on the phone, mantra, because it's going to help clear away and allow for this thought stream of, oh, I'm working, I'm doing, and all this kind of stuff just to be brushed aside. Maharaj uses the example, if you leave the door open, leaves will come in and you just brush them away, brush them outside. Door is open, leaves are flying in the house, you brush them out the house. Same with the thoughts, same with the activities, same with everything in mantra. Because as you remain with mantra, eventually you're going to be able to do your job without being a doer of your job, or without you needing to be there to do your job. And you will basically observe, oh, look, I can do my job quite nicely without having to be something.
Okay. It's kind of preoccupation about performance and all the thing, and that's take a lot of energy too.
And it's not like Maharaj says, this is practical spirituality. You do your job, you do your duties. It's not like, you know, you see some guru type place and they're like, do nothing, just do nothing. Well, this is no good. You know, go to ashram and just chill. Just, you know, this is not practical spirituality. So what you're describing, doing your job, being within where you are, mantra. And as you see, I don't need to worry about doing my job. I don't need to be like, okay, this. It's spontaneous action in the moment. There is a sense, or was a sense at one time, that this is so important, like spontaneous action in the moment, then I don't sell any sales, then I don't eat. So spontaneous action in the moment is a little bit, oh, I don't know. But the truth is, it's happening right now. It's just a flow of thoughts identified with of I'm doing this, or I need to pay attention to this, or I need this. Spontaneous action in the moment, because everything boils down to pick up, drink, put down. Every action is this way. Spontaneous action in the moment without a sense of doership, without any concern for what's being done, and with no desire for any outcome. I don't sit and drink this drink and then wonder, where is my body being nourished by this water? And what parts of my body, where is the water going in my body right now? But if you translate that into everyday life, we do this. We're like, okay, if I do X, Y, Z, I want to follow the action all the way through to some desired outcome. And like the pinball machine where the ball kind of goes around, you want to make sure it's going in this one place. And you get irritated if it doesn't seem to go in the way you want it to go. But when you lose all concepts of being a doer, doing deeds, and it's just spontaneous action in the moment, then there is no direction. Whether the ball goes this way or that way, it really doesn't matter, because you're not in mind flow of desired outcome. You know, it must be this way. This is the outcome. It's just pick it up, put it down. And believe it or not, I think I shared, that's how I moved. Yeah. When I was moving from this place, the landlord was like, oh, I'm going to sell the place and this and that. And it was just spontaneous action in the moment that now here I am in my new place. Like, I was not experiencing the concept of moving. Yeah. And so it's just literally just spontaneous action in the moment. And then you sort of look back and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, look, rented the van and moved all the stuff and bought the right boxes and then opened the boxes and unpacked the boxes and bought the furniture and here I am. But I wasn't like all caught up in, because, you know, especially the fear of, oh, you have to leave now, you know, oh my God, oh, leave now, oh, this is terrible, I have to find a place, what if I don't find a place, all this kind of stuff. But it's just spontaneous action in the moment. And the same with your job. We're not looking at the sales board or anything like this. It's just spontaneous action in the moment, spontaneous action in the moment, making the right decisions, so to speak, because the decisions are just flowing, they're just natural. That's why they talk about the right action. Right action is spontaneous action, because it's not selfish. It's not this, you know, self-seeking of it needs to be this way or I have to win. Mm. When you know yourself in a real sense, my presence is in every being. Who's the winner?
Nobody.
Or everybody.
Yeah. Nobody, nobody, same thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Same thing.
And the distinction between spontaneous and excitement. Sometimes excitement can come and I can think it's spontaneous. It's not spontaneous because it's exciting. It's exciting, it's not spontaneous.
Spontaneous,
so again, it's mantra. Just to cool down and just be at the right level, but the true level, not the right level, but the true level.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, excitement is there's that this is not spontaneous action in the moment is literally like it's formlessness acquiring form just for a brief moment to use it to do it and finish. And no need to create any sense of anything. They label this as like Sahaja Samadhi or Nirvikalpa Samadhi, where you're just like, there's no sense of a you. It's just these spontaneous action in the moment. And excitement or any of these things like, oh, this, because excitement is, there's definitely a desire for an outcome. Identification with a stream of thoughts. Things are going good. Mm-hmm. But this can very easily identification with thoughts, things are going good. Oh, things are going bad. Mm. If things can go good, things can go bad. So instead, spontaneous action in the moment with no creation of a doer doing deeds. And that's why mantra, because then you don't have to sit there and say, oh, look at me, I'm thinking, or oh, look at me, how well I'm doing, not thinking, because you're concentrated on mantra. And then the you that you are is seeing behind this, like, oh, yes, so that I am that. All these activities are occurring within my own self. There is no deed, no doer. And I don't have to say there's no deed, no doer, because I'm remaining with my selfless self. So it's self-evident that there's no deed, no doer. There's just this. Just I. Spontaneous action in the moment. And it's finished.
Thank you.
Yes, Jai Guru.
And there's nobody who was detached during all that.
Sometimes
I get thinking, you know, oh, I was detached.
See, that's why mantra. Mantra will erase these illusory thoughts, including the one doing the mantra. The concept of someone doing mantra will be erased by mantra, and then suddenly there's just selfless self. And there's nothing. And as this gets stronger, if there's still an identity that I can fall back into selfless self, then okay, fall back into selfless self. Because there will come a time where you are dissolved. So until that time, then mantra, remain with your selfless self. Something's happening. You're looking outside. You start to understand that when I look outside, if I look inside, then the projection of outside is actually coming from inside. And then there is no inside and outside because I'm not identified with an object anymore, because this concept of being an object dissolves within that. The seer the seeing, all this is just, it just merges into nothing, into your own self. This concept-free state, how you were prior to beingness. Then at all, you want to say anything, you say, I don't know. Like, there's nothing. Like, and I can't say there's nothing because I'm here. So there has to be something. But what that something is, I can't say. And where that something, I don't know.
But it's something. It's something or not.
Well, you're here, yes? You know you are. Like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, this is undeniable. You can't say, I am not. Like, I mean, you could, but this doesn't make any sense at all. I am not. Well, you are, because you are. You know this. This is the only truth, actually, is you are. So you investigate this you are. This you are is not the body. This you are is that subtle sense of presence, just I. I am. You are that. That's why you say prior to beingness, you are. After leaving body, you are. How you are, I don't know. Because there was nothing to know prior to acquiring a body and then having body knowledge and a world and time and concepts and language and all that. I knew nothing, not even my own self. I was not aware I am until this came along with the body. Oh, I exist. I couldn't say I exist until I took body form. And you could say, okay, the subtle body, the knowledge of existence arose, which created the whole, okay, so there's a subtle sense of existence, but I could not say I exist until the spirit clicked with the body and you say I, as Maharaj says. And I is prior to words. Prior to the sense of existence, prior to saying I exist, that one who then said I exist, existed. With no knowledge of existence and no ability or need to communicate, I exist. Because the concept I exist came along with duality, the birth of duality. Boom, I exist. And that's the first kind of falseness. That's why Maharaj uses the example. I'm a man. Okay, well, that's very nice. You don't have to keep repeating this. Prior to your stating you're a man, you're a man. You're in a male body, you're a man. So you don't need to state this. It's self-evident. And now you go one step further. Prior to beingness, you are. And you don't have to keep saying, I am, but you do. And then here you are, appearing as something within your own self. Again, just like a dream. Oh, we lost. I just noticed he popped off. I don't know. I knew it's storming in different areas. Like my power was off 3 times today. Once while I was working. I felt kind of stupid actually because the computer, it said no internet and yet the computer's on. So I don't know the power's off, of course, because the computer's on. So I go and I do the Comcast thing on texting and then it comes back. Oh, we'll have to call you. Okay, call. And they have me, and I say, no, there's no lights on in the box and this and that. And then I realize, oh, these lights don't work. Nothing works. Only the computer was working. But I had no idea that the power was off because the computer was on. Mm-hmm. So anyway. And see, just because you know yourself in a real sense doesn't mean that you won't have these scenes or talk about these scenes. There's no pressure of saying, uh-oh, I'm formless. How could this happen? No, because it's all happening inside yourself. That's why you don't have to keep reminding yourself. You know, you don't have to say, should I be acting this way? And that's why Maharaj always says, oh, I'm a spiritual man. I can't do this. I can't do that and this and that. No. While this body is available, use this body. But no, it's not you. And it has nothing to do with you. And there is no, like, oh no, this terrible thing. No. Long dream. Instead of waking up every morning and saying, oh, that was a dream. This dream is a long dream, but it's still a dream. Because you're formless. This free meeting will end in 10 minutes. That's crazy. It goes by fast now. It's good, good.
So what you would call motivation, might call motivations to do something, they're just spontaneous, suitable to the moment or something.
Yeah, let's say right now you say, oh, I mean, right now it's a terrible night to go to Ocean City, but let's say it was a very clear night and you say, oh, I want to go to Ocean City. And you pack and you go to Ocean City. Okay.
Where's the motivation to go to come from in the first place?
It's just spontaneous action in the moment. Oh, I want to go to Ocean City. I go.
I mean, you do it because it seemed, but there's still that, it seemed like a good idea at the time, or it seems like a good idea to go to Ocean City.
See, there's not a thinking process with that. There's no one to think about it. Or truly, you could say, okay, well, it's not a good idea to go to Ocean City because tomorrow I have work. So you sit and you, instead of thinking, mantra. And maybe you see yourself still packing, getting in the car, driving to Ocean City, and maybe not. Neither one was really a choice anyway. So it's only this mind flow identified with as I am deciding what to do. That's why the best is to remain with your selfless self. And then you'll see the decision without creating a decider.
Yeah, I guess, like I said at the beginning of this meeting, I was feeling like I didn't know what to do or something, but what the feeling of what to do will come. I mean, something will appear and something will kind of motivate me. I don't necessarily know what it will be or how it will be.
Yeah, well, like Muhammad says, you can't just sit on the couch and say, I am not moving from this couch. He actually said in the chair, because it was at the ashram. He said, you cannot sit in this chair and say, I have decided I am not moving.
And so the motivations that come will come from the body. They won't necessarily, they won't be yours. You don't have to identify them. They will come.
Well, it's spontaneous. And again, as long as there's a sense that I could make a decision, remaining with the selfless self, remaining with mantra, okay, Or even if you want to, if you can't concentrate on yourself and do that selfless self-worship, so to speak, picture of the master. Bow to the master. Master, what is right? Show me this way. And do nothing. Just bow, master. Cease identifying with the flow of thoughts, because they're not about you. Hold yourself with yourself, concentrate on the concentrator, meditate on the meditator, until everything dissolves within the concentration, within the meditation, and within your own self. And then don't take credit for the amazing decisions that you're not making. Because you'll see yourself and your life will just start to just get just progressively better and better and better because you're no longer meddling in it. And then you don't want to sit there and say, wow, I'm on a hot streak. You know, just spontaneous action in the moment, spontaneous action in the moment. And anytime you feel like, you know, just like when I came to this apartment and I was like, oh my God, I just went through that whole process with, thank you, master. Thank you. Thank you so much, master. Because Maharaj is your own selfless self. And so you're thanking your selfless self for the appearance and the projection and the selfless self-intoxication and the worship of your own self, which is all there is. You're using this body form to worship your own self.
So you're not thanking the master for any of the worldly stuff that goes on.
I thank master for everything. I have a picture of Maharaj in my car. And as I'm driving all the time, I'm thank you, master, or talking to master, or, you know, yes, absolutely.
For everything, I guess.
For everything, absolutely. Absolutely. Because as you remain with your selfless self in the spontaneous action in the moment, like I said, your life just becomes, it's not your life, but this. As you're observing this, it's just amazing. You're no longer troubling yourself with yourself. There's no one there to disturb the peace. It's selfless self-intoxication is in every breath. So yes, thank you, master. Thank you, master. Thank you, master. Yeah. I've said before, at night when I go to bed, I do Rajadi Raj, Satgurunath, Sri Gurlingam Maharaj Kijay, and then Balsev Maharaj Kijay, Siddhameshwar Maharaj Kijay, Nisargadatta Maharaj Kijay, Ramakant Maharaj Kijay, and then with the big picture of Ramakant Maharaj, at your feet, my master. When I wake up in the morning, I'm on my knees and I say, good morning, master.
It's all amazing.
This is, and this isn't even like a, I'm not doing it for any reward of the body. It's just a, it's, I don't know. It's a spontaneous devotion in the moment. Pure devotion without any desire like, oh, if I bow to the master, I'll get some rewards or whatever. No, there's no me there to get rewards. There's bowing to the master. Just as you see the videos of Nisargadatta Maharaj, he goes and lights the candles and puts the flowers. And you can watch the bhajan when Ramakant Maharaj was putting every flower perfectly in place on each of the masters. This is selfless self-devotion. Because you're no longer trapped in that illusory circle of birth and death and problems and sickness and all of these things that just aren't true. Master has broken you out of this circle. Which you were never in.
It does seem to be a slowly, silently working.
Absolutely. Slowly, silently, and permanently, all the illusory layers on your presence will dissolve, including presence itself. Mm-hmm. You know, you can like sit, and I've done this in the recliner here, sit in the recliner while watching TV and suddenly just look at the feet. And there's this knowingness that there's no connection between myself and these feet. Like, it's not a, they're in my field of vision, so to speak. The same as out this window, I'm seeing houses and such, but there's no, oh, these are my feet. Mm-hmm. It's just like, and you can just remain like this as a meditation, whatever you want to say, but you know, you can look your hands and you know yourself in a real sense. The formless holder of the body is seeing the body. But whether this body is there or not, I am.